source of profound wisdom, and it comes in interesting packages sometimes. One of her favorite sayings is to say tongue-in-cheek, at least I hope it's tongue-in-cheek, you can always be happy if you continually lower your expectations. Now, as harsh and disappointing as that opinion sounds, it's kind of the truth. We can convince ourselves that we're happy if we continually lower our expectations about what life should be or could be. If we expect too much, after all, we will be disappointed by circumstances, by human nature, by our own failures. And so we learn to adjust our expectations downward. We're not happy exactly, but at least we're not as disappointed as often. But is that a joyful way to live? Is that a way to find a full life? Is being disappointed less often truly the same as happiness? Is it the most we can hope for? The gospel today speaks to us about adjusting our expectations, not making them less, but making them more. Jesus prays for us, "The glory that you, Father God, the glory that you have given me, I have given them. The glory that you have given me, I have given them." In other words, what God the Father has given to Jesus, Jesus passes along to us. And then in our collect for the day, the church prays, "Do not leave us comfortless, but send your Holy Spirit to strengthen us and exalt us." Do these sound like words which encourage us to lower our expectations of what God can do through us and with us and in us? When Jesus came to earth and was beginning to be identified as the Messiah, the people who had been waiting for the Messiah for so, so long were not sure about this whole idea. In fact, one of the commentaries says this Messiah was an early disappointment. The people of Israel had hoped for so long. They had been told that they were God's chosen people, but then they had been persecuted and exiled and killed, and as a people they must have been afraid to hope. Even the most faithful of nations or the most faithful of individual persons must feel afraid to hope in a world that is as broken as ours is. And so, in a way, the people of Israel expected too little. They lowered their expectations. But then God came and changed their expectation. God, through Jesus Christ, didn't simply put another group in power. God changed the whole concept of power. The gospel message overall given to us is that the Holy Spirit comes not to tinker with the world a bit to fix it. The Holy Spirit comes to turn each of us inside out, to put the spiritual above the material, and to turn the world upside down, to put the humble above the haughty. If we expect less, we dishonor God. We are not called to lower our expectations of the divine. We're called instead to ramp up our expectations for ourselves and for the world. But raising ourselves to the place where God wants us to be requires work. It's not just a matter of fluff and inspiration, but it requires the hard work of daily faithfulness. We don't simply live a mindless, directionless hope in God. The book of Revelation tells us, "Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they will have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by its gates." The robe was the symbol of worthiness in heaven. So if we are called to wash our robes, what are we asked to do exactly? It is an active stance, not a passive one. The washing that the text is referring to is an acknowledgement and a cleansing of our own prejudices and our own agendas. Those challenges keep our robes tainted if we are not constantly in contact with God. But if we are willing to be faithful in small things, to admit and wash out our prejudices, we'll have to raise our expectations of what God can and will do. For God will do more than we can ask or imagine. Our task is to, through that everyday faithfulness, let others glimpse the kingdom of God through us, not simply to revel in the promise of salvation, but to show that gift to others. It is a wrong interpretation of Revelation to see the coming kingdom as what one commentary calls a personal possession for a favored community in which we claim membership. We are to show others the kingdom. Our reading from the book of Acts has a guard in the prison who has very low expectations of the followers of the way and of what the followers would do to people unlike them. After the earthquake, Jesus' followers stayed in prison rather than doing something that would cause the guard, their earthly enemy, to destroy himself. He saw the kingdom of God through them. His expectation was raised. And after seeing that, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved? How can I learn to have such compassion for those who would hurt me?" So God not only works for us, but also through us. As Scripture says, "I can do all things through God, through Christ, who strengthens me. I can even love the ones who would hurt me and help to save the ones who would imprison me. All things are possible with God." And yet, too often afraid of another disappointment, I choose to lower my expectations. I know it, and I pray, "Forgive me, God, but sometimes I just can't stand the thought of being disappointed again." And so I tend to lower my expectations. But I want God to teach me to expect more, to hope for more, to stop settling for less. I want God to help me see and live out Jesus' prayer for me, that the glory given to Jesus has now been given to me. Of course, it helps to know that God will not leave me comfortless. But in my heart of hearts, I want more. And so I pray, I believe in you, Lord God Almighty. No more lowering of my expectations of you or of myself. Amen.